Okay, welcome to the next Complete Physio podcast. I'm joined today by Mr. Simon Owen Johnson, who's an extremely experienced upper limb surgeon. And today we're going to be talking about acromioclavicular joint injuries, also known as AC joint injuries. Now, we're going to talk about this because it's actually one of the most visited pages we have. So there's clearly a lot of people out there trying to get information on this. And we're going to break it down into two groups of patients because there are two quite separate groups of this. You've got your traumatic patients. So these are the patients that have fallen off a mountain bike, had a car accident, fallen over whilst they're running. They fall on their arm and they basically fractured either their clavicle or ended up with a big bump here. So we'll talk about that in the second part of the podcast. But the first group we want to talk about is what we call the atraumatic AC joint injuries. And often these are people that play rugby, go to the gym. They might have had a bit of a fall and developed pain afterwards. So we're going to talk about them first of all. So just want to give us an idea of how somebody would present with an atraumatic acromioclavicular joint injury.
So in my practice in the City of London, they're usually around 30. They usually go to the gym a lot. They're usually hench, I believe it's called. And they come and they say, that hurts.
Yeah.
And they point with the tip of one finger to the end of their collarbone.
Do you want to just show where
Let's show us where that is. So this is the left shoulder with all the deltoid on it.
Right shoulder, Simon.
Sorry.
That's quite right important. Keep that in.
Rookie error. Yeah. This is a right shoulder. And you can follow the collarbone along. And in most people, there's either a bump or a dent. And that's where it is at the far end there. A little bit further on is the acromion and then the round part of the humeral head. But it's that bit there.
And they generally come in and go,
they come in
it hurts
and say,
there, doc.
That hurts. And it hurts when I go to the gym. It hurts when I put my underarm on. It hurts when I reach over the top there. Yeah. And it hurts when I lie on that side. And those are the hallmarks of AC joint pain.
It's quite it is quite an easy diagnosis. The patient sort of does the job.
Yeah, they say, I've got pain here. And they usually say, it's related to the gym. I've ramped up my something.
Yeah.
And now this is hurting. What can you do, doc?
And you definitely see it, you know, those patients that are pressing a lot as well. So they're going above 90 degrees quite a lot, which is what people want to do, and that's absolutely
what they
fine.
Do.
But they end up getting pain. They've had no injury.
Nope.
So it's a bit of an overuse.
It's an overuse
type injury.
Which is always difficult because if someone's doing something they want to do and it's an overuse thing, then the fundamental, the root thing is to back off on that activity. It's like, stop doing it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, that's the difficult thing, to get these guys, usually guys,
it
fair
is mainly
to say,
guys, yeah.
To throttle back a little bit. And so we have to auction about how much to throttle back. Now, as you can see, I don't go to the gym, I'm not hench, so I don't quite get that same endorphin rush that they get.
Yeah.
But tweaking down a little bit is the first issue. How can we just slow things down?
And the
a bit?
Good news is, from a physio point of view, because that first phase, if it's quite acute, you need to modify. You don't have to stop everything, do you?
No.
Because most people with AC joint problems struggle with the overpress stuff, overhead stuff. So you can still do other types of exercises. So you
it's
need to modify
day.
It. Yeah, it's leg day. But leg day gets very boring.
Yeah, everyone hates leg day.
So we would have the approach, wouldn't we, that you don't need to stop going to the gym, but you do need to modify for a period of time.
You're going to have to, otherwise it's going to carry on hurting.
Yeah.
So I think there are a number of pathologies that hurt at that place. Perhaps we should talk about what might be.
Yeah.
They're all inflammatory. So the first thing is it's a joint and that you can wrench it and just get a capsular inflammation, in which case sometimes it's actually red. It's certainly tender, maybe hot.
Mm.
That's one thing. There's a little disc in there, a bit like a meniscus in a knee, and the TMJ's gone on as well, and that can be ground or torn. So they may have a little disc tear, or the longer-term thing they get sometimes, I think, called distal clavicle osteolysis.
Osteolysis,
which is a bit like a stress fracture. It's an overuse thing. It's actually a bone change. So rather than the soft tissue, the bone actually on X-ray.
And it's the end of the clavicle.
Yeah, it's the end of the collarbone, literally. And it sort of gets a bit moth-eaten.
Yeah, but they all present the same.
All the same thing. Yeah. There, there, there.
Yeah. And so most of our patients have probably tried resting. They've probably done that for a month or two.
Yes.
And gone, oh, maybe it's a bit better.
Yeah.
They go back to the gym and quite often the pain's still there. So how do you, first of all, how do you diagnose those things that you just talked about? Do people need MRIs? Do they need X-rays?
They don't really need them because if there's pain there and it's tender when I push and it's tender on crossbody adduction and it's tender when we go them to high arc over pressure, it's going to be that joint. And it almost doesn't matter whether it's a soft tissue thing or a disc thing or a bone thing. They're going to have to back off on the activity.
Yeah.
I think the important message is that anything biological doesn't take a month. Take 3 months.
Yeah.
And so the period of throttling back is longer than anybody wants to wait. We all see the footballers who injure something and they're playing again at a fortnight. Yeah. That's not normal.
Because these things have been brewing up, haven't they? It's been brewing up. So there's been this inflammation going on. And then at some point it gets quite painful. So it takes quite a long time to settle down. What about things like anti-inflammatories? Do you find that helps patients?
Not typically,
no,
to be honest.
No. I've had the odd patient that's tried an anti-inflammatory gel.
Yeah.
But most people we see have tried all that, haven't
they? Yeah, I mean, a VAC joint's just under the skin, so that's one of those few things where I think the drug might get into the joint.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, gel, just as a by-the-by, gel's for a shoulder thing, a complete waste of time.
Agreed.
It's 3 inches down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, nothing's going to get in
there.
But the AC joint, you might get some drug
into it. Very superficial,
it.
Isn't it? Yeah. So they've tried modifying their activity. It's not getting better. They've come to see you.
Yeah.
What are the options that you've got for this?
Relatively limited, it's fair to say. So, I mean, an upper limb surgeon's toolbox includes surgery for a tiny number of people. Mm. It includes activity modification, which they don't particularly want to do. I suppose that there's an injection, we perhaps come on to that. The other issue that I sometimes tell them, maybe I always tell them, is that it's only that joint. Mm. It isn't the warning sign for a disaster of your shoulder. Mm. It's just that. So if you can tolerate it, crack on.
Yeah. So your point is you're not damaging something long term.
It's not a spreading arthritis. It's not a tendon tear. It's not going to lead to stiffness or anything else disastrous. It's only pain. And I think for some people who get pain when they're in the gym or for the day afterwards, that's not a bad trade-off. If they're woken, it's a bit of a different thing. No one likes losing sleep.
People do wake with this sometimes, don't they? Because when you lie on that side,
it just increases the pressure. Yeah, hurts. So they don't like that.
Okay. So you talked about injections. What sort of injections and at what stage, I suppose?
Steroids, the one that works, isn't
it?
There are other injections. PRP, I'm not sure that it does a great deal to it. The lubricating injections don't do a great deal because it's fundamentally an inflammatory overuse pathology. So you need to deflame it. The problem is that steroid works for 2 months and then it's gone. So it doesn't really change anything. Unless there's a lifestyle change of some kind, we're just going to rinse and repeat.
Yeah, from somebody that does injections, I find that these guys are the repeat. They're like, well, can I just come back in for another injection in six months? And to be honest, as we always say, the more injections you have, the more damage you're probably doing to the joint. And in the end, they don't work anyway if you've had too many.
Yeah, you get too much damage and the steroids are not enough.
I've got one guy at the moment and I know that he's going to book back in.
Yeah.
I think we've done two now. And I'm very much like, look, this isn't a long-term solution. What I find the issue is if you do the injection, you've got to then modify probably for probably 2 months as a minimum. Whilst trying to do some physio and getting their technique good and strengthening other areas. And I say to them, if I do this injection on you, and it's almost like a contract, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm happy to do it, and I can pretty much guarantee I'm going to make you pain-free.
Yeah.
And that's almost the problem, isn't it? Because they go, oh, great, I'm fine.
I can go back to my bench press of whatever
it is. Exactly. Yeah. So I will try, and they don't always do it, I'm sure. I'll say, look, if I do this, I need you to really modify for the next 2 months. Otherwise, I can guarantee in 2 months you're going to be back wanting another injection. And actually, the second one might not work so well.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with two injections, but they need to be spaced out.
And it's not really changing anything, is it, long term?
No.
What do you think, as a physio, about physio for this?
So, obviously, I love being a physio, but a bit like our frozen shoulder podcast, I don't think physio is great for AC joint because fundamentally it's an inflammatory problem. So you can go with your anti-inflammatories, but if you go and see a physio, they might wiggle it around a bit, which probably half the time aggravates it. And then you can try and strengthen your muscle to give a bit more support to the joint. But I would say that will always be done in combination with modification of activity. And I think that's probably the key thing that actually helps. I sometimes have the phrase, I'm entertaining them on the way.
Yeah.
Because they're being productive and they will be working on what's tight, what's weak.
Yeah.
So they're using it positively, but I think the modification of the activity, it's not one I think I get amazing results with.
What about offloading? Sometimes I see people and they've been bracing backward to try and stretch everything
out. So in terms of taping.
Yeah,
so does taping
or postural
help?
Control.
I mean, you only have to, it's Rugby World Cup time at the moment. Yeah. Soon as they take off their tops, you'll see loads of them have got loads of taping over there. It does work whilst it's on.
Yeah.
The question is, does it have it? So if it's a very acute AC joint, I might tape them to try and help with that offload and that anti-inflammatory effect. Mm. But I don't think it does anything more than that. I'm not a massive fan of pulling people back because often that can just aggravate.
I mean, I sometimes see people who've done a lot of physio and they end up in this sort of crazy position. Yeah. And they say, well, I've got this pain here now.
Instead. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You just
because it's inflammation, a bit like the frozen shoulder stuff we've just been talking about. I think it is, that's where a steroid injection can be helpful. Yeah. If it would never be a first line of defense, though. It would be try and get this modified, settle it down. We have this option if we really need it. Mm. But bear in mind, it's not curing
it's not
the problem.
Fix you.
It's yeah. Mm. So I think there's a role for injections. I think there's a role for physio. But I think, and again, like we've said before, it's probably the combination that gives you the best effect. But I definitely see, and bringing it back onto you, I definitely see a group where I've done a couple of injections. And then the pain comes back again.
Yep.
Where do we go after that?
Well, then I start sharpening instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have an operation for this. Yeah. So get to
and
go
it's
back.
A pretty effective it operation,
is.
Isn't
it? It is, eventually.
Right, okay.
And there's the rub
the
with
plot
it.
Thickens.
So as you can see on this diagram, the collarbone is the only actual physical connection between the whole of the arm and the rest of the skeleton. So there's nothing at the back. The scapula sits in a sea of muscle. And so it's held quite tightly at the far end, the outer end, by two big ligaments underneath and a butt joint, which is the end of the collarbone. That's the bit that wears out. Which
so
means,
it's literally like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, and they grind. Which means it's possible to remove a little bit of the end of the bone and leave a gap.
The end so of the clavicle you don't take off yet.
Because these two ligaments underneath, the conoid and the trapezoid, still keep the collarbone in place. They will windscreen wiper across a little bit, but nevertheless, you can end up in a situation where the end of the collarbone is no longer grinding on the acromion or that little bit of
How
disc.
Much do you take off of the clavicle?
Quite a bit. So somewhere between 12 and 18 millimetres.
Okay, fair.
Because if you take a sliver off, it'll just windscreen wiper across on the ligaments.
Right, okay.
So if you don't take enough off, it doesn't work. So you've got to leave a gap. And so patients are a little bit alarmed at the prospect of having a centre, it's a sugar cube of bone removed.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned thing was an open thing, a Mumford procedure. You open the front, take a saw or a chisel through it, and take it out. Yeah. Modern thing is done keyhole from inside. It's the same end effect. You're making a gap. It's called an excision arthroplasty.
So you're basically just reducing the compression.
Stopping
you're
them
giving
touching.
It space.
Stopping them touching, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't no longer
so
grind.
So the natural question after that is, do we not need that bit of bone? And does it make me more prone to future problems, like such as arthritis or something like that?
It would seem that we're okay without it.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. So we doesn't seem to be a long-term consequence.
No, and I would agree. I've seen so many people after this surgery, and it is one of those surgeries, I think, that actually works quite well.
It does
work,
yeah.
But okay, let's talk about our gym goer, though. Are they going to get, this is their question, how long are they going to be out for? I'm really putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
What's the chances of this working
long
term? And am I going to get back to my PB bench press? What was the first question?
So the first question, how long will they be out for?
Yeah.
So they'll be out of the gym entirely, only for a couple of days. It's a keyhole thing. You've got two little skin nicks, six millimetres. It's leg day for a little bit.
Yeah.
If you then start to exercise on a freshly operated shoulder, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do any damage.
Right.
So they can feel their way back to increasing their weight, and it takes 3 months.
Yeah, and you need a physio to help guide that.
Yeah,
for
you need
sure,
a bit of guide. Otherwise, you get stiffer, you do things adversely.
Yeah.
Every year, I think someone doesn't need physio, and every year I relearn the lesson that everyone has a shoulder operation needs physio.
Even if it's just for that guidance
of
when you should start
Absolutely
your next thing.
You can't do shoulder surgery without physio, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I learn it once a year every year.
Yeah, that's great to hear. You value physio once a year.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what's the percentage of this helping?
90-odd percent.
It's good. It's a good operation.
It really works. And I think the ones where I've come across where it hasn't worked, there's been some complication, either not enough bone or a little bit of bone left in. I've had my, you know, we do enough surgery, you have complications. I did a guy once and I remember him to this day and I tell patients about him. I made a gap and something happened and I didn't go right the way to the roof of the joint.
Right.
I don't know whether someone asked me something. Something happened. And I left a little shelf of bone. And of course, he didn't get better.
No, well, it's very honest. That,
it happens. We're only human.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you say, it's a pretty 90%. It's definitely my sort of opinion of it as well. It's a good one. And so are they going to get back to their PB bench press?
No reason why not.
No, that would be mine. Yeah. But it's going to take, look, let's be honest, it's going to take 4, 5, 6 months to build up.
And they're
going to
be 6 months older and none of us get any younger.
No.
Unfortunately.
And probably what happens is their activity levels drop
a little bit. They detrain a little bit.
Their expectations of their bodies change.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about injections, we've talked about surgery, we've talked that physio sometimes helps but doesn't. Let's now move on to the second group of patients, which is a big group, which is your traumatic AC joint injuries. So maybe should we leave clavicular fractures or...
Let's leave clavicular fractures because they're a whole different
group. Yeah, we can do that another
group.
Time.
Let's look at AC joint soft tissue ruptures.
Perfect. So talk us through the sorts of injuries that occur there.
They're usually the active group. So we talked about people who fall off things, bikes, skis, not so much snowboards. They
horses.
Tend to be the wrists. Horses, yes, although the height sometimes do rather more than just an AC joint.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Or they fall off their own feet clutching a rugby ball. So that's the classic rugby shoulder to go down straight on your side, onto the point
of the shoulder. I'll tell you the other classic. I had one the other day. You know when people are new to, they're clipping in on their...
Is
they forget to unclip, and then it's just a slow motion fall to the outside of the arm. That can do it, can't it?
Yeah, if they're not quick enough to get their hand out and break a wrist or a radial head.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Oh, really?
So they come and they've injured something at that area.
Yeah.
And it hurts and there'll be a bump of some sort.
So that's the clavicle.
Yep.
That ends up lifting up like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, something springs. So some of the soft tissues give at that point.
Yeah. Okay, and talk, because I'm sure there's different grading systems and different grades. So, and I'm imagining you will then carry out an x-ray for these.
Yeah, plain x-ray and sometimes an MRI scan. Really only MR scan if the diagnosis is in doubt. If the x-ray is completely normal and the patient says it hurts like stink here,
you
think, well, maybe there's a soft tissue thing that doesn't show anything very much.
Yeah.
So the grading system, there are about five of them. They're all broadly similar. They're all a six-part thing. They're all based on Rockwood and Tossey. The names originally.
Yeah.
Rockwood is an American surgeon. I'm not sure. Tossey, pretty much a French
guy. No.
Tossey. And so the type one is just a sprain. So everything's the same shape as normal. Nothing's changed.
So it'll look a little bit swollen, but there's nothing sticking up.
Nothing sticking up, nothing stretched apart. And they get managed expectantly. Some tablets. Everything in soft tissue will take 3 months to settle down. So they're not quick and they are very, very painful.
Yeah.
So diagnose that, and then it's a question of physio to keep going, painkillers as you like.
The lady I'm talking about was only a grade one, but I ended up injecting her about three months down
really
the line
because
it hadn't settled down.
Really, really painful.
Yeah.
So the two is a distraction injury, which means that the acromioclavicular ligaments are ruptured, but the coracoclavicular ligaments, if I should run this again, so these are torn, these are intact, and that's a distraction injury. So it's like a bad grade one, effectively.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll fillet the clavicle out of its soft tissue envelope, but essentially it'll all settle down.
Yeah.
So sling for comfort, tablets for comfort, physio to keep going.
Yeah.
Time, nature, all good. Nothing to do for me there. The threes, there is a bit of vertical movement. And so for the threes, the AC soft tissue has gone. The underneath the coracoclavicular ligaments have torn as well.
Do you want to explain that on that?
So on this one, these are torn and both of these are torn. And so the collarbone rides up to some extent, and it's supposed to be less than 100%, so less than one clavicle diameter vertical. But critically...
One thickness.
So you see it on an x-ray, but critically, it's reducible, so you can push it back into place. That's the distinction between a 3 and a 5, is whether it will reduce or not.
Okay, let's talk about that, because it's almost a self-test, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So if you can push it back down and it drops back into place, it's a 3.
Okay.
And so... We'll come on to treatment in a little minute. Yeah. If it won't go back where it came from, it's a 5. And the implication of that is that the deltotrapezial fascia, that next layer of gristle out, has also ruptured, and the collarbone's sitting buttonholed through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How often do you see fives?
Moderately frequently.
But you see mainly, you would see the threes.
There is a six.
Right.
No one's ever seen a six. Somebody knew somebody once who met someone who knew someone who'd seen a six.
Oh, right, okay.
And so that's the collarbone gets stuck.
Yeah.
It's a motorbike crashed up thing. So the collarbone comes out, I'll show you this way, and gets jammed under the coracle.
Oh, right,
so that's a really high velocity thing. I've never seen that. And that's a major...
That will be more of a car accident.
A major nerve and vessel injury. That's a serious business.
Yeah, yeah.
And the type four is an oddity. So the clavicle goes backwards and gets stuck in trapezius.
Oh, okay.
So they get a lump that sticks out of the back here somewhere, which is uncomfortable. So
okay.
Those are the types.
So you've got... So it sounds like... The ones and twos, fine.
Easy.
We know, although you could get prolonged pain. The threes and fours are the ones that probably end up in your clinic.
Yeah, three, fours, and
fives. And they look quite ugly, don't they?
They do.
And sometimes, and I've had a patient recently who's seen on the NHS, and there is a massive tendency now to not operate on these in the NHS.
Yeah.
Is that a fair?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it seems to be that. Same for clavicular fractures as well. So I had this guy, he walked in, it was like he had a friend on his shoulder.
Yeah.
It was there. You could push it down.
Yeah.
He actually, pain-wise, was fine.
Yeah.
But he didn't like the way it looked. And he ended up having an operation. Mm. And it wasn't, I can see what he meant.
Yeah.
Because he'd wear a t-shirt and it would just be sticking up.
And it's a weird
up.
Thing.
And he was quite a big guy, so he was a bit concerned about how he looked. So when and how do you decide who should have surgery?
Honestly, I think it's quite difficult.
Right, okay.
And I've been doing this for 20 years now as a consultant.
Yeah.
And the classic training is that the fives need an operation and the threes don't.
Yeah. The fours?
But the fours, relatively rare, and it's buttonholed, they're going to need something doing to pull it back.
Okay,
otherwise it's going to stay stuck
back.
So the threes are the contentious.
And they're the ones that are sticking up but can push back down.
Yeah, but it will drop back down. So the classical teaching is that they'll be okay in the long term, unoperated.
Yeah.
My experience is that some are, some aren't, even when they're definitely threes. And I've had some patients with a three, and it's been completely fine, and they're delighted with it. There's no swelling, no nothing, and it's stable. And then you have some with a three, and it's just a little bit loose, and they don't like the sensation of instability. And
that,
it feels unstable.
And it's not just the guy that I saw, it wasn't just the look. I remember him saying,
because
he was back to doing weights.
Yeah, yeah.
He just said it feels so
they
wrong.
They feel
and
loose.
It clunks.
Yeah,
and,
they don't like it. And sometimes
it
moves around, as you say, it moves around clunks and catches, and that can be painful.
Yeah, yeah, fine.
So some of those threes are better with an operation.
So do you think, again, do you think it really then just comes, well, it does comes down to the patient, doesn't it? And
Absolutely.
How they feel.
Yeah.
And
no one dies with these things.
No. No, that's
so
very
it's
true.
All patient choice.
Yeah, yeah. And from an operation point of view, what do you do?
Some form of string.
Right.
So there are lots of variations on it. Over time, which, I mean, usually that means that none of these are perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
My own preference is a thing that used to be called a surgery leg, then it was called a lockdown.
Yeah.
Lockdown's become something different in the last 3 years. But it's essentially a polyester bootlace that goes between the coracoid and the clavicle.
It just sits on top
and
pulls
it wraps around it. So it lassoes around the coracoid, comes over the back of the clavicle, and is fixed with a screw front to back. And
so for want of it not sounding too technical, you basically just ram it down.
That's exactly what we
and
do.
And it stays in place.
It's precisely that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that goes in.
Does it heal after?
Yeah, it forms a big scar mass.
Right,
and that's the key to it. So this
prosthesis
is essentially a temporary but very strong thing that will encourage a massive scar to ingrow.
So it's putting a bit of a scaffolding up for things to...
And it's open weave. So it looks like a rugby boot lace. It's it's polyester, flat weave thing with lots and lots of holes in it.
Yeah. And it so stays in?
Stays in.
You don't take it
don't
out
take
ever?
It out, no.
No. Successful operation?
Remarkably successful.
Yeah.
90-odd%. Yeah, yeah. So Steve Corp, Andy Richards from Guys and Tommy's published on this about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Phenomenal success rate. People love these. It works.
Again, it's a good operation, isn't it? I can hand on heart, and you'll probably have more, you'll definitely have more of a series on this, but I can't think of a patient that's had that done that's regretted it.
They're I'm going to give a couple.
You can give a couple, okay.
I've done 100
of these. So it's
up
at that 90% like success rate.
So if I've done 100 over my my career, I've got probably 10 who aren't happy with it.
Yeah,
and I can
sure.
think who they are. And they hurt a little bit.
Them.
Yeah, of course.
And what is it? It's continued pain or?
Coracoid fracture.
Oh, interesting.
So you're changing the loading on the coracoid.
Yeah.
So we try and put the ligament as far back to where the native ligaments come from.
Yeah.
But obviously the loading is a bit different. These are on a big area spread out. This is a lasso around it. So I've had a couple of coracoid fractures. Yeah. I've had a couple of infections. There's a 1% infection rate. That's inevitable. And I've had a couple. So sizing them sometimes tricky.
Yeah.
Because the coracoid is a bit like a thumb. It gets bigger at the base.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get to the base where the strong bone is. On one occasion, in a petite woman who also happened to be a barrister, I got right to the back, chose the size with the length gauge, and I ended up putting in a fraction too big. It then walked over three months to the front and became loose.
Right, okay.
I had to go and redo it.
Yeah. So how long are people out for these?
3 months. Everything's 3 months. So
everything.
The makers say 3 months, no lifting anything more than 5 kilograms, which is not a lot.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's really interesting, because that definitely will play into some people's decision-making.
That's part of the decision process. Yeah. Are you prepared?
5 kilograms?
Yeah.
Above head or just anything?
Just anything. It's just the load, because you're wobbling it around.
You're waiting for everything to heal
to
around
gum up.
It.
Yeah. What you don't want is it to be moving and then gum up loose.
Yeah. And they're in a sling afterwards?
No. Just common sense.
And physio just to guide them.
Keep the range going. Keep everything else going.
The process.
And also to keep them on the side, because otherwise as it is, as dull as hell, doing nothing for 3 months. So the physios will give them something to do, some exercise, just guide them slowly
absolutely.
And carefully.
And also that's so important, isn't it? Because often with these guys, you sometimes, and girls, but you're often having to slow them down a little
always
bit.
Always having to.
Particularly
because it feels good.
Yeah.
2 weeks in, they go, well, the skin's all healed. Can I go back to bench pressing? No, you can't. It's going to take 3 months for nature to make a big massive scar.
Here's a question. What if you fell off your bike?
Yep.
And you had a grade 3 that was sticking up, what would you do?
I wouldn't have an operation. I'd wait.
Okay.
So the reason for that is that if you do it fresh, you could do a Sergi-Leg thing, or some of my colleagues do a Lars ligament. They're all bits of string, effectively. and you could do that now or do it in 3 months.
Right.
So I'd wait and see.
And just see how it felt, what your function was like.
Now, the only downside of doing that is that you've got 3 months of caution waiting to see if it's okay. And then if you have an operation, you've got 3 months of recovery. So that's a long recovery.
Yeah.
So if you're hesitant about going for surgery, you may pay the price of a longer recovery. So I did a guy recently, actually, and we had this discussion. He was doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Somebody fell on him,
classic.
Busted his thing.
Yeah.
I said, it's a 3. It's probably okay. We've got a bailout clause. And he said, I don't want to wait. Do the operation.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that do just make that decision.
Yeah. And that was right for him.
And it's not the wrong decision for them.
It's his decision. Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. So, because often with surgery, I sometimes feel with certain things like rotator cuff tears, if it's acute, I feel like, if you're going to have surgery, have it done sooner rather than later, because potentially the outcome may be better.
So a cuff can become inoperable over 6 months.
Whereas
this,
what we're saying is there's no
rush.
Optimal time,
no.
But just bear in mind, you might sit around for 8 weeks and you've still got this time after.
So you might lengthen your recovery by sitting on the fence a little bit. Yeah. There is a keyhole version called the dog bone.
Right.
Which we should just touch on,
which
is an arthroscopic version. It's very sexy, very clever, but you've got to do that within a fortnight. It's not as strong. So that's designed to do the same thing, to shove the clavicle and the coracoid close together for the ligaments to heal themselves. And they lose interest very quickly.
So you need to do that
very quickly. With that. Yeah.
Why is it called dog bone? Who on earth comes
Because
up with
the
that?
Little titanium piece
looks
like a dog bone. Oh. So the reason is it allows you to make a smaller hole in the coracoid, bring the string out of the front, and then clip this dog bone on.
So that's keyhole.
That's keyhole.
Whereas what you're saying, the classic one that you would do is
it's moderately invasive.
Yeah.
2 inch.
Go
inch,
down?
2 inch brass top
incision.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's a mark of respect for them.
What's that?
It's a mark of respect. I was playing so hard, I ruptured my AC joint.
Yeah, look at me. Look how brave I am.
Yeah.
Look what I can do now.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much. I think that's very useful. And look forward to doing our next podcast, which is going to be on frozen shoulder.
Fantastic. Thanks for talking to me, Chris.
No problem.